There it is. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Christmas Eve, December 24, 2018. Of course, I'm your host, Roger Noriega, here on NDB Media. We want to thank Robert Summers Potterton III for his composition of our opening theme. You can find him at www.rsp3.com. We have advertising opportunities here at NDB Media. Go ahead and find me at roger@ndbmedia.net. You can look at our website, ndbmedia.net, Facebook, NDB Media, and Twitter is also NDB Media. So if you want to call in tonight, the number is 914-338-0314. Don't be shy. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. It's Christmas. If you have any stories you want to share, I'm sure we'd love to hear them. I think it would be great. And you never know. Never know what could happen. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking forward to a wonderful evening. I got to tell you, a lot of stuff is going on in the world. God bless the world, let me tell you. God bless America, dare I say. But I'm going to take you down before I do anything else. Yeah, I'm going to take you down. Yeah, I was lame. I'm going to take you down memory lane. And before we get into some of our Christmas stuff, I think you know who it is. It's one of the greatest freakouts of all time. It happened in 1989, somewhere in Chicago. I ask you to enjoy.
What's wrong? Honey. It's bigger than you expected? Smaller? What is it?
Just a 1-year membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
Oh, good.
Mark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
That it is, Edward. That it is indeed.
Clark.
This isn't the biggest bag over the head punch in the face I ever got. God damn it!
She's gone.
Tonight.
I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there on Melody Lane with all the other rich people. And I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye. And I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no good, rotten, four flushing, low life, snake licking, dirt eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood sucking, dog kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat ass, bug eyed, stiff legged, spotty lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is. Hallelujah. Holy shit. Where's the Tylenol?
Christmas Vacation, ladies and gentlemen, one of the best Christmas movies of all time. I know we should be celebrating probably Die Hard or something like that, but right now that is Christmas Vacation, the third movie in the National Lampoon series of vacations. If you haven't seen it, oh, my goodness. You have to check it out. Want to welcome everyone in the chat room, History Pete, as well as everyone else listening both live in the archive. We know you're listening. We love the numbers. We're thankful for the numbers, and we're just absolutely thrilled. But I got to tell you, it's 57 degrees in Southern California while out here in Pomona, which is the hinterland of the far east of L.A. County. It's Dodger Town. I remember when my wife and I moved in, all I saw were Dodger caps and jerseys and everything all around. I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to have a hard time wearing the Yankee stuff. It is Dodger Town, USA out here. But it is the fringe. It is out here. It's BFE. But today is Christmas Eve, and it is a glorious morning. I had a wonderful day at work, a long day at work, made it home, and now I'm spending with the family. I believe the wife is cooking. Wow, it's a little bit of a surprise.
So I feel like Fred Flintstone right now while she does the Brontosaurus burgers or a rack of something or other. I don't know. But, oh, we have been working for the last 4 hours. A shed that arrived, a 7x7 shed. And it looks like everything was going great up until it wasn't. So the roof is not on yet. Looks like we may have reversed the piece. So we have to take out 4 nuts, reverse it, put it back in, and the roof will be on sometime tomorrow. It's not going on today. If it rains, well, we're screwed. But it's cold. It's wonderful. In Southern California, we haven't had cold weather in a long time. It actually feels like Christmas. I think it's great. I got to tell you, I'm absolutely thrilled. Life is good in the hood. I have my computer back. I'm thrilled. It's working. It's not shutting down like it's been doing for a while. My classmate, Anthony, Merry Christmas, pal. Thank you for doing it. He is just an absolutely awesome computer guy. Anthony Selva, my classmate. Do you ever need computer help? Let me know. I can get a hold of a great guy. You know, he was running the Bank of America security networks. He ran the networks for Bank of America, the security ones. Wow, that's crazy. But I may have revealed a little bit too much right now. Hey, I've already had something to drink. Mike's Hard Watermelon Lemonade. So I'm already tipsy. I'm already celebrating the holiday. Not like I'm driving. My daughter's already home. So life is good in the hood. But I do have quite a bit I want to go over with you tonight. Of course, it is December 24th. And for those of you that know your history, hey, by the way, did I tell you it's 57 degrees out here in Pomona? I know the rest of America is like, yeah, whatever, dude. It's snowing out here. Well, you know what? That's fine for you. You always get snow. We don't. It's not always cold out here in Christmas. It is now. Back in 1979, Soviet tanks rolled into Afghanistan. Benjamin Rush in 1745 was born. In 1973, Stephanie Meyer, best-selling author of vampire novels, was born. Every Rose Has Its Thorn puts Poison atop the charts in 1988. In 1997, you remember, we were all there. It's the time that Woody Allen just blew it. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean married Soon-Yi Previn, you know, the adopted daughter by his wife. I guess he wasn't the adopted dad, but don't matter. As, what does that comedian say? No blood there, baby. Oh, that's right, Turk from Scrubs. Anyway, back in 1864, the bombardment of Fort Fisher began. In 1952, McCarran-Walter Act goes into effect. In 1994, this was a day that Islamic terrorists hijacked a French plane. In 1953, a volcanic eruption sweeps away train. And I believe, even though I don't have any further information, I believe that was in India when that happened. Also on this day in 1812, the War of 1812 ends. Actually, I think that was in 1914. Anyway, on this day in 1851, a fire ravaged the Library of Congress. And in 1865, on this day, the KKK was founded. Ugh. In 1801, Richard Trevithick introduces his puffing devil. In presidential history, back in 1854, fire destroys the Jefferson Library. A lot of fires today. In 1923, Coolidge lights the first national Christmas tree. In 1969, most people in baseball, all the modern kids don't know this, probably don't even care because they're morons. Curt Flood challenges Major League Baseball reserve clause. It was on this day. And because of him, Major League Baseball has free agents. He was not granted free agency, but it eventually took down the reserve clause. In the Vietnam War back in 1964, the Viet Cong, the bomb brings hotel. Yeah. In 72, Bob Hope gives his last show in Vietnam. And that's what happened today in history. Trivia question, who is or which agency is the one that tracks Santa Claus? Is it the CIA or is it NORAD? And this was a trivia question that was asked at dictionary.com. The vast majority of people got it right or correct. NORAD. There were idiots that mentioned CIA. Good God. Whatever. You know what? The gene pool needs some more chlorine. Bartender, give me another drink. Forgive me a moment. Mike's Hard Watermelon Lemonade. It's going to keep the voice cool and refreshed, and we'll see what we're going to do. A little bit of trivia, folks. Did you know that long before there was a Grinch who stole Christmas, there was Krampus, the devilish half-man, half-goat, that helps out jolly St. Nicholas by stuffing naughty Austrian children in sacks and dragging them to hell? Yes, the true history of Christmas is as colorful as your neighbor's seizure-inducing house light display. And actually, my neighbors went way out. Several of my neighbors really went way out. And then some of them just didn't do a damn thing. But whatever. We put two light strings on a tree. Then we bought one of those little modern laser light thingies that you see, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. It doesn't make noise. It just moves. It's red. You know, we did something. History Buffs asks, was Saturnalia the original Christmas? The ancient Roman festival of Saturnalia was the most anticipated week on the Roman calendar, celebrated every December during the winter solstice. In paying homage to Saturn, the god of time and agriculture, Romans would take the week off from work, even the slaves, oh, good for them, decorate their homes and pine wreaths, light festive candles, attend raucous parties and feasts, and exchange gifts and offerings. When the Roman Empire embraced Christianity, many of these traditions were carried over to the celebration of Christmas. Ah, yet more pagan rituals. I am proud of saying that my daughters never went on an Easter egg hunt. It's a pagan ritual. But it's okay. You guys can slam me however you like for depriving my daughters of so many things. And speaking of deprivation, was Jesus really born on December 25th? There is no solid evidence that Jesus was born on December 25th or even in December. It wasn't even celebrated or even mentioned until centuries after the establishment of Christianity. Christianity. More like Catholicism, but that's all right. Clues from the biblical account point to a spring birth, shepherds tending their flocks, and it's likely that the Romans chose December 25th. Yes, I already read this. To coincide with Saturnalia and convince the empire's remaining pagans to accept the strange new religion. Who was the original Santa Claus? The legendary figure of Santa Claus came or can be traced back to St. Nicholas, a Turkish-born monk from the 3rd century who gained fame wandering the countryside, helping the poor and sick. In Holland, St. Nicholas is known as Sinterklaas. And the anniversary of his death on December 6th is a much-loved holiday. Dutch immigrants to New York brought Sinterklaas to America, where writers like Washington Irving penned entertaining tales of the anglicized Santa Claus. But the enduring details of Santa's story, the red suit, rotund belly, and reindeer-pulled flying sleigh, were popularized by an 1822 poem, An Account of a Visit from St. Nicholas, with its immortal first line, "'Twas the night before Christmas." For those of you that pay attention to just a few things, if you're able to look at a Roman Catholic bishop at certain times of the year, you will notice that the bishop looks very much like Santa Claus. It's bastardization, but it pretty much is. What is a Yule log? Well, I'm from Southern California, and I don't know what the hell a Yule log is. Heard about it. I may have even seen them. I don't know what it is. Does the man in the chat room, does History Pete know what a Yule log is? Oh, he said, Merry Xmas. I wonder, there's a 30-second delay, so maybe by the time I continue with this, he'll have an answer. But an Iron Age tradition of burning huge logs to ring in the new year evolved over the centuries into a rich Christmas dessert made of rolled sponge cake and whipped cream. Ooh, I woke up. I heard whipped cream. At the end of December, Celtic and Gaelic cultures used to decorate a large log with holly, pine cones, and a splash of wine, and burn it to the cleanse old year and usher in the spring. Starting as far back as the 1600s, the original Yule log was replaced by a long-shaped cake decorated to look like the real thing. Oh, History Pete got it right. It's a dessert. But it does taste much better. Jingle bells. Now, we Latin, we always say jingle bells. But that's okay. Most of you who do not speak any Latin languages don't really hear when we say jingle bells. But that's okay. Everyone else knows it as jingle bells. Did you know it was penned by a northerner who proudly fought for the Confederacy? Jingle Bells never mentions Christmas, if you think about it, but does talk about drag racing sleighs and picking up girls. The song's composer, James Lord Pierpont Pond, broke with his Boston family's abolitionist stance and joined the South in the Civil War, where he wrote popular Confederate anthems like We Conquer or Die. Jingle Bells was originally titled One Horse Open Sleigh and may have first been performed in blackface. I don't know. I'm going to find out about that, but that's okay. Why do we kiss under the mistletoe? You know, I went to lunch with a classmate of mine today, and I was going to point out that there was a mistletoe in there, but we were kind of like under it. And hey, you know, I'm liberal now. I'm open to lots of things, but I didn't want to point it out to him that it was right above us. There was a mistletoe. It's like, are they trying to be comedians? I waited and waited and waited, and we were there having a grand time for lunch, but he didn't notice. See, I do notice those things because I'm always looking up because I'm a stuck-up SOB. I'm always looking up. And there was a mistletoe over us. I didn't know what was going to happen, so didn't mention it until now. And maybe when he realizes it, he's probably going to take a swing at me or something for being stupid, or for that matter, not even warning him. But I did notice that a lot of the cleaning ladies were coming by our table, and I don't know what they were expecting. Maybe a joke, maybe a commentary. I don't know. It was kind of funny, though. And it was at the King Taco on, I think it's Rosecrans or Alondra. I don't know, but it's on Lakewood, somewhere in Bellflower. I just thought it was funny. When did Americans start decorating Christmas trees? I am thrilled that my wife found our Christmas tree, and she put it up late last night. Oh, man, I got emotional, I got to tell you. I've been wanting a Christmas tree up for the longest time, and I guess we didn't have one anymore. Yes, it's artificial. What is it in America? For thousands of years, cultures from Egypt to Northern Europe have celebrated the winter solstice by decorating their homes with green palm fronds and evergreens to breathe life into the shortest, darkest day of the year. The first Christmas trees were brought indoors by the 16th century German Christians, and Martin Luther is credited with placing the first burning candles in a Christmas tree to mimic the sparkling stars. Puritanical American preachers railed against pagan Christmas trees, and the tradition didn't catch on in U.S. homes until the 1890s. That's funny. I was talking about a pagan issue earlier, and lo and behold, a tree is pagan. And if you don't know what it is, hey, go for it. Knock yourselves out. I had a friend of mine, God rest his soul, his name was Roy Peltz. It was a coworker of mine. He had Islamic beliefs. He was very loyal to his beliefs, and it was funny. He and I would trade epithets. No one else would because he was Islamic, and I am, of course, Roman Catholic. See, where he would stop, and he'd say, "Gerard, you know a lot about my faith." Well, I was lucky. I studied in school, Roy. He says, "Wow, you probably know more than I do." Chances are, Roy, I do. But I don't look on you any differently because you are a man of faith and belief, and you're actually peaceful as opposed to your other brethren that are trying to blow up everything else. But that's okay. You're a good guy. One time we were going to go out somewhere, and I made a big – I'm into histrionics, and it was funny that I did this. But we were going to go somewhere, and it was probably an all-day trip. I don't know where we were going, but all of a sudden I started making a scene of looking throughout the, you know, the work truck. I was looking behind the seat, under the seat, and everything. And Roy, of course, stops. He's over the driver's side. You know, like, what? What are you doing? I asked him, "Where's your rug, pal? Aren't you supposed to have a rug? Pray several times a day?" And he goes, "Well, Roger, you're right. I've got to pray several times a day, but I have an agreement with the Almighty, and I just don't carry the gold." "Oh, you sure you're not a cafeteria Catholic?" But he never got that one. I thought it was kind of funny. When did poinsettias become a popular Christmas decoration? In Mexico, of all places, poinsettias grow wild in large bushes that flush with bright red leaves in the dead of winter. In fact, in Mexico, poinsettias are called Flor de Nochebuena, or Christmas Eve flower. They got their odd English name from Joel R. Poinsett, first U.S. minister to Mexico, who brought back the red and green plants from a visit back in 1828. Christmas was just beginning to be widely celebrated in America, and Poinsett rightly predicted that the festive plants would be a seasonal hit. By 1900, they were a universal symbol of Christmas. I gotta admit that, yeah, I would agree with that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a quick moment. I have to, listen to the ad, and I'll be right back. But you should listen to it as well. Everyone is eligible, folks. Doesn't matter who you are. Here's our next giveaway. Welcome, listeners. We have another giveaway. This week, DreamWorks Shrek 2 on Blu-ray and digital. Everyone's favorite larger-than-life hero returns in Shrek 2, which has been hailed by critics and audiences alike as even better than its Academy Award-winning predecessor. Happily Ever After never seems so far away when a trip to meet the in-laws turns into another hilariously twisted adventure for Shrek and Fiona. With the help of their faithful steed Donkey, Shrek takes on a potion-brewing fairy godmother, the pompous Prince Charming, and the famed ogre killer, Puss in Boots, a ferocious feline who's really just a pussycat at heart. Listen up. In just a bit, we're going to have the code word, and once you hear the code word, email us at Roger, R-O-G-E-R, at ndbmedia.net. Don't forget to put your contact info, and stay listening for the code word on this program. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, the code word will be shortly. Hell, I might even have History Beat make up the code word. And if he's the only one in the chat room, he might be the only one that has a chance. Actually, the way it works is when you hear the code word, fire off an email. And we're going to collect all the emails that come in, and we're going to choose one. And yes, it could be anyone, could be anything, could be whatever. Depends whatever I feel like. But go ahead and send us an email. Say hi. Tell us when you heard the code word. And I'm holding the DVD. I'm sorry. It's a Blu-ray and digital Shrek 2 right here. It's in my hot little hands. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm not Donald Trump. It's in my very big size 12 hands. And, shoe size, baby. I'm a size 12. So the hands got to be size 12 as well. I am not Donald Trump. But anyway, I've got it. It's right here. We still have Train Your Dragon 2, folks. That one is still there. That's as far as I'm going to admit on that one. Let's just say that DVD, that Blu-ray plus digital is still available as well. So Shrek 2, Blu-ray digital. Fire off an email once you hear the code word. How did the theme with the Santa Tracker begin? Do you guys know that story? Well, I have a story for you right now. In 1955, at the height of the Cold War, tensions with the Soviet Union, a general at the Continental Air Defense Command, known as CONAD, in Colorado received a call on a top-secret hotline. Bracing himself for news of a missile attack, the general instead heard the shaky voice of a young boy asking, Are you really Santa Claus? The number had been mistakenly published in the newspaper as a fierce Santa hotline, but instead of dismissing the incident, CONAD, renamed the North American Aerospace Defense Command, or NORAD, in 1958, embraced the role as the official Santa tracker. Using its massive satellite network once a year to broadcast Santa's exact whereabouts today, 1,500 NORAD troops and volunteers answer phone lines on Christmas Eve. That is so cool. One little kid started it all. Hey, it's kind of neat. And it's NORAD, not the CIA, folks. NORAD. So what's going on in the chat room? Well, nothing at the moment. It's all good. Remember, put in your comments or whatever. We'll gladly we'll follow up on them. What other important have happened on Christmas Day, guys? In 1776, George Washington led the Continental Army across the icy Delaware River in a surprise attack on the British forces. Charlemagne, the father of Europe, was crowned Emperor of the Romans by Pope Leo III on Christmas Day in the year 800. The Treaty of Ghent, officially ending the War of 1812, was signed on Christmas Day. Oh, I mentioned that earlier, in 1814. And the Apollo 8 crew orbited the moon for the very first time on Christmas Day in 1968, signing off their live TV broadcast with the memorable Merry Christmas and God bless all of you. All of you on the good earth. When did Christmas stop a war? It actually did once, believe it or not. On December 7th, 1914, not 1941, we're switching the date, 1914, 5 months into the outbreak of fighting in World War I, Pope Benedict XV, not the 16th, you know, the one that just resigned not too long ago, called for a temporary ceasefire during the Christmas season. Military leaders on all sides ignored the request. In the trenches responded. As night fell on Christmas Eve, sounds of Christmas carols began ringing out in German and English across no man's land. The next morning, unarmed German soldiers approached the British line shouting, "Merry Christmas!" They were met with hearty handshakes, gifts of chocolate and cigarettes, and a spirited game of soccer. The so-called Christmas truce was short-lived, or actually as my sister, or I'm sorry, not my sister, but as my English teacher, Sister Pauline Therese would say, short-lived. And I'm still looking down at her saying, "Yo, what, woman? I'm sorry, sister? It's short-lived." But no, Roger, it is short-lived. Did anyone ever tell you that you look like a beach ball with two arms and two legs sticking out? Short-lived? Are you crazy? That's what she said. And she had a master's in English. So I now say it as well, short-lived. I am an uppity English speaker. Anyway, I'm getting away from the story. The so-called Christmas truce was short-lived and never repeated, but it speaks to our shared sense of humanity, even the darkest of moments. Folks, I know quite a bit of history, and I was surprised when I read that one. I did not know that that one actually happened. I looked it up. I played with it a little bit more, you know, in historical terms, and I found out that it did happen, the Christmas truce. That's crazy. The men put down their guns, and they had a soccer game. They shared chocolate, and they sang. That's unreal. Unreal. It's, yeah, that one really warmed my heart when I heard that one. And, folks, from dictionary.com, we have the word of the day. Heartstrings. The word of the day is heartstrings. So take a listen to this.
That's it. You've heard the code word. You know what to do. Email us your contact info at roger@ndmemedia.net. Let us know the program you were listening to and the code word. And that's really it. The drawing will be early next week, unless we change our minds, but chances are it's going to be next week, and it'll probably be on Facebook as well. So stay tuned, and you can always email us to see if you found out. So email us the code word for this program that you're listening to, as well as your contact info to Roger, R-O-G-E-R, at ndbmedia.net. Good luck.
And Merry Christmas. Folks, we're giving stuff away. Come on. Send us an email. We want to give. You think I want to hold on to them? I already own these movies. They're entertaining. Actually, well, you know, now that I think about it, I only own Shrek on DVD. I do not own it on Blu-ray and digital. So I'm actually sharing something that I purchased, and I want to give it to the listeners of the NDB Media Network. Guys, I want to give it out. Excuse me, the Blu-ray and the, you know, that. And it's digital, meaning that with the code word that's in there, you can set up an account, an ultraviolet account, with either Movies Anywhere, Voodoo, whatever, and you can watch it on your phones, on your Roku, on your iPhones, whatever. really, really neat. And you don't even need a digital connection to watch it. You can download it to your phone. And when you're on a cruise, you can watch Shrek 2. Donkey. That's so funny. This is Shrek 2, guys. And it has lots of bonus features. I don't have my glasses, but the Animator's Corner, Shrek's Interactive Journey 2, Spotlight on Puss in Boots, Secrets of Shrek 2, Filmmaker's Commentaries, Far, Far Away Idol, music videos, and more. Folks, there it is. We want to give it out. Send us an email. We would just enjoy it. Merry Christmas! I mean, I think I'm as fat as Santa Claus, but I think I'm a lot friendlier than Santa Claus. Did I actually say thank you? Anyway, everyone's eligible. All of our listeners, please. We want to give it away, and we have, oh my goodness, this is just a quick idea. I shouldn't say it, but we have about another 10 movies that we're going to be giving out over the next few weeks. And one of them is even going to be the 4-pack of the Hunger Games. All 4 movies in one shot. It is cool. That's just one. And I believe I have the Batman movies, all 4 of them as well, all in one shot. So that's to come. For now, it's just Shrek 2. And if you want to try for How to Train Your Dragon 2, we had that one too. But anyway, we're going to go on. A little bit of dirty politics, folks. Wow, in Arizona, the 6th District, Arizona GOP Rep. David Schweikert hoped he was able to put his ethics issues behind him, but he got some unpleasant news on Thursday when the House Ethics Committee voted unanimously to expand the scope of their inquiry into his activities. Roll call writes that the committee is looking into allegations that Schweikert used official congressional office resources to benefit his campaign. They're also investigating whether the congressman pressured his congressional staff to do political activities for him and whether, quote, compensation to an employee who did not perform duties commensurate with his House employment, unquote, which roll call says is code for off-the-book settlement paid out to a staffer. Oh, and the committee is also looking into whether a congressional employee gave Schweikert or his campaign loans or gifts. Wow. Back in June, the committee announced that both Schweikert and now former chief of staff Oliver Schwab were under investigation. The complaint at the time said they were looking into allegations that Schweikert's campaign had paid Schwab considerably more than congressional staffers are allowed to earn in outside income. Schweikert still managed to win. You can tell I'm having fun with the name. He won re-election 55-45 against Democrat Anita Malik, but that margin was far smaller than all of his previous victories in his current district, which he never carried by less than 24. Times be a-changing. In the Senate in Colorado, the Denver Post recently asked outgoing Governor John Hickenlooper if he has any interest in challenging GOP Senator Cory Gardner, and he didn't explicitly rule it out. But, hey, you know, I'm also thinking of running for president in 2020. So I haven't decided if I'm going to run for Senate yet. So we'll see. It's not exactly the way the conversation went, but I'm trying to sum it up for you. In Georgia, outgoing state senator Michael Williams, who attracted national infamy by driving a deportation bus around Georgia during his unsuccessful 2018 GOP primary bid, was indicted this week for fraud and false reporting over a cryptocurrency-related insurance scam. Even in the Trump era, there's one of the strangest sentences we've ever written, and that's crazy, let me tell you. That one is funny. The guy's crazy. He drove a deportation bus, and the guy is being indicted for criminal actions. He's a moron, but you know what? He's not being charged with being a moron. He's being charged with being a criminal. So I don't know what's better. In Maine, the 2nd District, as expected, a federal appeals court has rejected Republican Rep. Bruce Poliquin's request for an emergency injunction seeking to overturn his loss to Democrat Jared Golden in last month's election. Dude, you lost. Why are you suing? It's done. It's over. You lost. Cannot believe you sued to get it overturned. You lost. Do you know how we know you lost? Because there were more votes for the opponent. You know, more, you know, that little arrow that's big on the left and small on the right. board that you have? The fat side was on your opponent, and the thin, narrow side was on your side. So yours was, well, it was greater than yours, if we do it correctly, but I'm going off on a tangent here. Jacksonville is the second largest city in America to be led by a GOP mayor. Only San Diego, California, is larger. But incumbent Larry Curry's main threat in 2019 likely will come from a fellow Republican. Oh, great. Yeah, I don't care about that one. City's mayor, Mayor Sly James, think about that name. Sly, S-L-Y, is it an homage to Sylvester Stallone? But doesn't matter. The guy's termed out in 2019, and there's a very crowded contest to succeed him. Oh, good stuff. Don't care. What else? Wow. I actually went through a lot of stuff that I went. Back in 1941, folks, if you want to know what was going on, the Germans were being chased from Moscow. I'm sorry, Moscow or Moskva. Depends. In Spanish, it's Moscow. In Russian, it's Moskva. And in English, it's Moscow. Anyway, on December 6th, General George G. Zhukov launched the counterattack, send the Germans over 200 miles back. So they were looking at the gilded towers of the Kremlin on December 6th, and on this day, they're running. Actually, they're getting crushed by the German counterattack. Germany would never come so close to victory as they had on December 6th. So they're running on December 24th. So, all right. That was just a little bit of World War II history there. Also on this day, my goodness, when was it, in 2010 or 2011? The Obamacare Act was approved, if I'm not mistaken. Healthcare had passed. And not a few weeks ago, some judge in Texas overturned it was unconstitutional. So go figure. Things change. All right, folks. Really got through a lot of my stuff early. You guys want to give me a call? It's 914-330-3314. Otherwise, it looks like that's going to be it, ladies and gentlemen. I went through a lot of my stuff, and I guess I read a little too fast. My throat is going. It is Christmas Eve. And, well, you know what? I think I do have one more note. Remember, 2011 is when I got the memo. Folks, this doesn't only have to be a Christmas tradition. It could be something that you could do all the time. Buy locally. Spend money in your neighborhoods because the money stays there. That means your neighbors, your friends, your family, all benefits when the money stays locally. When you're able to do that, your community gets stronger and the surrounding communities get stronger. Instead of buying those material gifts, those are very expensive, and they're nice, those big screen TVs, those video game systems, they're nice to give. But you can also give other gifts too. You can give gift cards. You can give cash gifts so that people could spend it on their own. Maybe they're still going to buy the video game system, but fine. But you can give out locally preferred gifts, car washes, having your hair cut, stuff like that. Remember, if you get a message from NDB Media in late 2018, keep it local. Spend the money around the house. It's better for one. It's better for all. We all win that way. Next week, we're going to be on at 7 p.m. Pacific time, which is 10 o'clock Eastern. We may do a two-hour program because if we end at 9 o'clock our time, that would be midnight in New York. That would be New Year's. So we may be doing a Rocking Eve special countdown around the world. We'll see if we'll get some people from around the world to call in and wish everyone a Happy New Year. But for myself, folks, we've been doing this for 10 years now. I don't think we thought we'd be here for 10 years doing this. And it's a thrill that people take the time to listen to us and spend time with us. My genuine wish is for you to be well, to be healthy, and to be active, believe it or not, and active by getting up from your seat and be able to go somewhere and do something. We in America are privileged because of where we live and who we are. I'm not saying we take it for granted. I'm saying let's take advantage of it. Let's go out there. Let's talk to people. Let's communicate again. I have a dirty joke to tell you. My uncle told this to me a long time ago. Now, it's very, very dirty. So, are you ready? It's very dirty. You ready? A girl fell in the mud. I know you're never going to forgive me. I don't care. Oh, man. I know. My uncle pulled that one on me. That was lame. It still is lame. But all right. We're there, ladies and gentlemen. We're giving away lots of stuff. We're going into 2019. I wish you peace and prosperity. I wish you happiness. I wish you joy. And I also wish peace of mind. From everyone here at NDB Media to you and to the world. Guys, let's take a listen. Let's take a listen to the person that's in our universe, to our neighbor, even to our enemy. Just take a moment to listen. You'd be surprised what you hear. Happy Robonica, happy Festivus, happy Kwanzaa, happy holidays, and Merry Christmas. Thank you for being with us, and we wish you the best, and we hope for the best. And may 2019 be an effing blast. Yeah, I swore. All right, guys. Peace always. Head on over to ndbmedia.net, which is being fixed right now. So Cedar Point Concepts is working on it. That's another classmate of mine who does great work. CedarPointConcepts.com. He does websites. And we're good. We're going to have some authors joining us. We have many guests in the new year. Lots of stuff happening. And yes, we're working on bringing John Billingsley back. You know him as many different roles, but we know him as Dr. Phlox from Enterprise. We're working on getting him back. John Billingsley has never told us no. It's going to happen early next year. Folks, we're out of here. Merry Christmas. And we'll see you guys next week. Peace!